will not laugh. You will not cry. You will learn by the numbers. I will teach you. Now get up. Get on your feet. 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 Now get up. Get on your feet.
You are listening to WREK Atlanta, and this is Lost in the Stacks, the Research Library Rock and Roll Radio Show. I am Charlie in the studio with Amit, Fred, Matthew, Wendy, Josh, Eladia, and a photographer perhaps to be named later. Each week on Lost in the Stacks, we pick a theme and then use it to create a mix of music and library talk. Whichever you are here for, we hope you dig it.
That's right, Charlie. Today's show is called From Embedded to Rooted.
I like this, but I don't know what it's about. Is this like war journalism or trees?
Where would we be without our library jargon?
Completely lost.
Maybe we can add some context here.
Okay, how about this? From Embedded to Rooted, how archivists and librarians snuck their way into the classroom and how we've managed to blend in.
Yeah.
Is that better?
Snuck our way in. Definitely more clear, Fred, but gosh, not very inspiring.
Right.
But accurate. So this is going to shape up to be one of those episodes of Lost in the Stacks.
Amit, I need you to regain your optimism
that you once
brought to this show.
It's embedded to rooted, from embedded to. So we are going to get deeper with our embedded librarianship.
Okay, that was pretty good, but you might need to work on it a little bit. If you want to join the conversation, the hashtag for this show is LITS459 for Lost in the Stacks, episode 459. Feel free to tweet your thoughts, questions, or more inspiring clarion calls with those hashtags.
And our songs today are about trying to find the time, imposter syndrome, and getting through things together.
I said optimism.
And there's also a smattering of duets. I love duets throughout today's show because just like musical duets, librarians and instructors are close partners. And the partnership works best when librarians aren't just passing collaborators, but when they are rooted in the curriculum. Oh, I get it now. Rooted.
It's all the script that you wrote is all coming together for you. Is that right?
Let's start with Rooted by Act Normal right here on Lost in the Stacks.
That was Rooted by Act Normal, which is not a call to action. This is Lost in the Stacks, and today's show is called From Embedded to Rooted. We're talking about embedded librarianship, what it is, and where this concept is headed in the world of academic libraries. Hey, have you ever been embedded, Amit?
I have. I don't think I've called it that.
How fast were you going before you struck the surface that you were embedded in?
100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Felt like. I have been embedded. I think a lot of us have, actually. And so my definition is when you are full participants with someone else outside of the library on a course for credit, on a credit-bearing course. That's the way I would consider, that's my definition for embedded librarianship.
Okay.
So you and the other faculty member there every class period. You're part of the whole lesson plan.
Yeah, and importantly, also developing the learning outcomes and working on the syllabus together and so on, and grading together. So full participants.
So I've been embedded. Fred, have you been embedded?
I have never had that kind of participation in a course.
Okay. Wendy, have you been embedded?
I suppose a flavor of embedding.
Oh, explain.
So we have this program here, and I think it exists on other campuses. It's a collaborative program called the Vertically Integrated Projects Program, with the idea being bring students together from different disciplines, all give them credit towards their major, foster sort of communities of practice and knowledge transfer across the years. So there's a really cool class, Community and Digital Archives, with Dr. Brad Rittenhouse and Dr. Todd Michney, and it's about archives, y'all.
Yeah. And Brad was on our show. I guess we got to get Todd on soon.
We do. We need to have him on. He's also a member of the Library advisory board. So, yeah, that's a really great team. And I think that's a really great example of where I hope we get to by the end of this episode, truly rooted and crossing disciplines. So it's not necessarily all about, I have a very uptight definition of embedded librarianship because I'm just thinking disciplinary, but multidisciplinary is really where I think we should be going with this concept.
I think you probably have to explain that. I'm going to say it. Wendy has made me self-conscious, but you're going to have to unpack that disciplinary to multidisciplinary.
We need the unpacking sound effect.
See our 10 years episode.
So I'm the subject librarian for School of Public Policy, and I've taken policy classes, and I've got a master's in policy. And so I'm co-teaching a policy course that has elements of information science that are woven throughout it.
But that's not its purpose.
That's not its purpose.
Okay.
That's not the core purpose. We've started to morph it so that it's more connected to the world of information and things like peer-reviewed sources and using good information in completing a policy memo, for example. But
and is that an example of disciplinary?
That seems very disciplinary.
Okay.
It's bounded within the concepts and the theory of public policy. But what really gets me excited are things like the vertically integrated projects, which you're looking at with a more expansive lens and are problem-based. I think it's still exciting to be a full participant. It's also incredibly draining in terms of time, resources, and time.
Yeah.
And time.
So what happens in an embedded class, either with VIP or in public policy? I've just done one-shot instruction. You know, come into a class, see him for an hour, then gone.
You've taught some credit-bearing courses yourself, though.
Not as library instruction.
Not representing the library.
Yes, doing the undergraduate seminar-type class. So what is what do you gain when you're there every week? What extra is there?
Great question. I think definitely relationship building with the students, which is really hard to do in a one-shot class. But I've mostly done one-shots. This is sort of a new experience for me. I think also honestly, an awareness that I don't know how to teach. Like, I wasn't taught how to teach anything. And so I kind of feel like I'm just a peer with the students a little bit. Like, let's figure this out together, which maybe fits with some of the VIP, within boundaries, but I don't know what I wasn't trained in this.
Right.
I guess I'll figure it out. But I know that so many in our field are increasingly trained in instruction. And I don't know, Amit, what would you say about how that experience is different?
Yeah, it's definitely, I guess this is where the war journalism metaphor makes sense. Cause it feels like you're being thrust into this role without a lot of protection. And so my co-instructor has decades of teaching experience, and I have 0 to 1 years.
And if I can make a very broad generalization, since master's degree is the terminal degree for archivists and librarians, some people have PhDs, but that's not required to be a professional. We don't go through that throw 'em to the wolves teaching sort of education that the PhD students often have to go through. So this is our version of that. Of, hey, get in the classroom. I don't want you to just do an information literacy or an archives presentation. I want you to be part of this class. And then, do you remember the first time you stood up in front of the students and delivered any kind of lecture in that class, Wendy?
So fortunately, in the VIP, we don't have to do a lecture. So that saves me.
This is what I'm talking about. It's better.
Likewise, just to be Fred and Charlie, you two have taught several iterations of classes together, and to be handling it all by yourself, let alone in collaboration with another faculty member when you're embedded, sounds like a serious challenge. Yeah, learning by doing, right?
Yeah. Somewhere in that change from embedded to rooted, I was an embedded librarian in a class run by Hugh Crawford, a friend of the show, friend of the library. And I was just playing, I was playing bongos or tambourine to his class, right? I was helpful. I was there. I talked about what we were trying to accomplish, but he was running it. Running your own class that's when it becomes a big deal and scary.
This is Lost in the Stacks. Our show today is called From Embedded to Rooted. We'll be back with more scary after a music set.
File this set under Z675.U5E453.
That was Time Traveling Blues by Ghost Cousin. And before that, Got the Time by Anthrax, which generated a lot of excitement in the studio.
Sure did, Wendy.
Those were songs about trying to find the time to do things and do things right.
You are listening to Lost in the Stacks, the Research Library Rock and Roll Radio Show. And today's show is called From Embedded to Rooted. We're talking about what it means when archivists and librarians get past the one-shot instruction session. So we touched on this a little bit. In fact, I think you were leading to this this segment in at the tail end of the last one, Charlie, in reference to something scary, and that's standing in front of a classroom, especially the first day of class, because I've noticed there is an assessment that takes place, and it is not vocalized by anyone, but it's essentially saying, who's the one in charge? Who do I ask when I have a problem with my grade? And who's going to be the nice professor and who's going to be the mean teacher? And I only know that retrospectively now, because at the end of the semester, you realize which of the professors, which of the teachers is asked certain questions. Substantive questions go to Dr. Hicks, but grade questions come to me.
Oh, yeah. This is the glorified TA stuff. The kind
The
frustratingly, you know what? Let me stop that thread because I think it's just a profane end. So let me start again. That feeling that we are in service, you know, we have some lesser qualifications in a way than the teachers, who are the professors who've asked us to collaborate, that we don't have the experience, that we don't have the full knowledge of the discipline. And even worse, sometimes we are considered library outreach when we're in the class. We are representing the institution as opposed to representing ourselves. If our friend of the show, Pete Ludovis, went and taught in an LMC class, they would not say, Pete, who is representing chemical and biomolecular engineering and expanding its reach in the institute. They would say, oh, Pete's here. Okay. Can we get him to stop talking? Right.
Or expert on humor and engineering.
Something like that. Yeah. I love you, Pete, if you're listening. But we are, hey, representing the library. You know, here's Fred in this AE class.
I'm going to say that from my experience, I'm going to bring up something that you said in the first segment. When the librarian is in the classroom, it is like we are playing the bongos and tambourine while the quote-unquote real faculty member is up there lead guitar, you know, singing whatever. And Amit, your experience as an embedded librarian, that is a kind of a rare thing, but I'm going to, you know, kind of put a little context on that too. You're actually a PhD student in
public policy. Snuck in.
Yeah, there you kind of had an in into that, and so that your role as a PhD student, do you think that might have had more to do with bringing you into the classroom as an embedded librarian than, you know, might have otherwise happened?
It probably helped, but I do realize my student status whenever I try to tackle any of our topics. You know, the course is science, technology, policy, and a big chunk of it is economics, the economics of science. And I only have a surface level understanding. Like, you don't get that deep expertise in graduate school or even after a few years. It's only through decades that you really can converse in an intelligent way about the production function of science. So I tried to answer a question once from a graduate student on stage, and I realized I was flailing and failing miserably. And of course, you know, my co-instructor saved me, but it was a dose of reality there that I may get there someday, It's like a journey, but I'm definitely not there yet. So even with the advanced training, it's not enough.
What was the name of that article that you suggested for this show?
It was written by two librarians from Purchase College.
Yeah.
They did something that I think was kind of transcendent, where they started to integrate library resources, services, spaces into an art course.
Yeah. The reason I bring them up is because they talked very specifically about being recruited because of their information literacy skills, wanting to bring that into the class, but then the professor sort of realizing that there was more to be brought into the class besides just their information literacy know-how, that they were able to sort of frame research questions and talk about how people are going to find things. But it still sounded very much like library services and library instruction inside the frame of an art class, art history class. Does that sound right to you?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think,
and that's the cage, the frame that we're trying to maybe break out of or not break out of. I don't know.
Or maybe fill in with a little more detail, perhaps. The article is called "The Art and Environment of Embedded Librarianship" by Heather Saunders and Ryan Taylor.
It's a very good article.
Published in College and Undergraduate Libraries.
And so one of the other things that they talked about was the moment of reaching their limit in the classroom, much like you just talked about. And I don't remember them suggesting any sort of formal solution to that. It was very much just a, and you made me think of this, Wendy, very much just a, hey, start doing it. Start doing it and have it go well, go badly. This is where my sort of theory of teaching as stand-up comedy comes in. Like, you have to go to these open mic nights, which are one-shot instruction sessions, and you have to bomb sometimes and do well sometimes and build up your set and get better and better, learn how to handle questions, i.e. being heckled in some way, right?
Yeah.
Doing crowd work, right? Yeah. Student engagement. And any stand-up comedian will tell you the only way to get good at it is to do it, and to do it badly sometimes, so you can discover what you have to get better at.
It's a remarkably apt analogy. That's a good one.
Thanks, dude.
And Wendy, I think you said in the last segment that you discovered that teaching was not necessarily your thing. Did you feel like you had an in, like a meet had an in?
Well, I will give a lot of credit to Dr. Rittenhouse and Dr. Michney, who, you know, realize, I think, really respect the role of libraries. And because they are doing a hands-on project that involves archives and libraries, they want to bring the right experts to the table, whether that's undergraduate students doing editing extraction or archivists who work with community archives. So the in, I think, is that respect from the other academics who, you know, encircle the library, who surround us, realizing that they need our expertise. It's not just sort of the drum playing. It's essential.
It's sort of rare that faculty members acknowledge that expertise sometimes, I feel, in my heart.
Some of them do want more cowbell.
This is Lost in the Stacks, and our show today is called From Embedded to Rooted, and we'll be back with more on the left side of the hour.
This is Julie Grobe from the University of Houston Library, home of the Houston Hip Hop Collections, here in the chopped and screwed city of H-Town. You're listening to Lost in the Stacks, the Research Library Rock and Roll Radio Show on WREK Atlanta. All ready.
Today's Lost in the Stacks is called From Embedded to Rooted. And we've been using the phrase embedded librarian, but maybe there's a better term. This is from Buffy Hamilton, author of Embedded Librarianship, Tools and Practices, published by ALA. Participatory librarianship positions librarians as agents of change in their learning communities. Rooted in conversation theory, participatory librarianship suggests that if people must engage in some form of conversation to acquire knowledge, And if librarians are in the knowledge business, then librarians should be in the conversation business. All efforts to engage patrons and plan library programming should go back to the essential question: how does this decision impact and create a conversation for learning? I think we are in the conversation business, Amit. And by we, I mean this show.
Amen.
File this set under ZA3075.H36-2012.
I Can't Dance by Graham Parsons with Emmylou Harris. Before that, Moego by Nara Leo with Erasmo Carlos. Those are songs about that feeling when you think you're not quite as good as everyone else believes you are.
As speaking Portuguese.
You are listening to Lost in the Stacks, and today's show is called From Embedded to Rooted, and we're talking about teaching partnerships in the college classroom. So, Amit, we've talked quite a bit about sort of what embedded can mean. Can you talk a little bit about what you have in mind when it comes to the term rooted?
Yeah, let's get into the metaphor. Let's embrace it fully. So I imagine roots going into a soil, strengthening the plant or the tree as the roots go deeper, but also broader. So if we imagine we're on this diverse ecosystem of a university, the roots would ideally like interact with other elements around that soil. So we'll transfer that and we'll say, okay, imagine the library as a true academic unit that teaches classes and has faculty doing research, just as in, say, computer science.
Can I interrupt you there?
Yeah, of course.
Let's think about academic departments not as defined by the fact that they teach classes, but defined by having a disciplinary concern that they are exploring.
Yeah.
And bringing in students to teach them how to explore that and supporting research in that area.
Right. That's a better way to characterize it. And one element could be teaching, but there's research and there's other things too. There's other labs and experiments.
Yeah, because that's what we can do to frame libraries as some kind of academic department. Like, we are concerned with information science, information literacy. We're also concerned with the practice of composition, communication, you know, and that's where we get trapped sometimes teaching, you know, I need you to teach them how to use Audacity, or I need you to teach them how to use databases.
The tool.
Yeah. It's, you know, we want library classes that are not practical instruction in software or pedagogical tools. And you have to design those.
Right, yeah.
Which is completely scary to try and design a class. Fred, can you talk a little bit about the frustration of a syllabus?
Well, Charlie, you and I both, you know, we've talked about teaching that freshman seminar class, which here at Georgia Tech is called GT1000. And it's just a one-hour credit class. It's just getting students acclimated to college life, mm-hmm. you know, preparing
It's supposed
resume.
To be an yeah. easy A if you participate.
Right. I think we met for, we had like two or three 2-hour meetings
yeah.
working out the syllabus just for this, you know, quote-unquote easy A one-hour class.
I remember a whiteboard filled with, like, when do we talk about this? When do we have this person in? You know, are we actually scaffolding these learning outcomes? And I believe there was one meeting where we realized, no, we're not doing the right thing on any of this, and we had to erase the whole thing and start again.
Right, and this is, for me personally, this is where that little niggling feeling of imposter syndrome comes back, because as hard as, you know, faculty members work to teach classes, and they're usually teaching more than one class during a semester, as hard as they work to do that, I'm thinking, like, okay, well, you do that, and you do that now without a librarian integrated as a, you know, a root essential part of your curriculum. Do I have to market myself to, like, get you to include me, like, raise my hand and say, can I play too? Because it seems like they are doing it, you know, often without library and librarian help. And so the struggle to get, you know, to be a part of that educational process, well, it is a tough struggle.
Yeah, I do think there's a pitch required. I certainly remember seeing an opportunity and then making a suggestion during a meeting to have this kind of deep integration. And I think I started out by saying we should have more than one time where I come in, because I think maybe 3 or 4 times, and then eventually it's like, oh no, just be part of the class if you have the time. And I think that's the big constraint here, is there's no time. There's never any time.
No, there is no time at all. You know, I taught the mini mester. I think we talked about it on our previous show. Talked a mini mester, which is 5 weeks of 3 hours of class, but it turns out to be just 1 hour of credit. Intro to podcasting, something that I know about, something with a practice and a theory that I'm familiar with. And it was still terrifying to do, you know. And if someone asked me to teach a course that was, if someone asked me to teach a course like the one that Amit described, some kind of public policy course, I would quit and leave and change my name instead of having to do that teaching. That I have nightmares about being in a class and not knowing what the lesson plan is or the subject. And I think that's the thing that keeps a lot of people, a lot of librarians, from really diving into this, because ultimately you're in a classroom in a subject that you don't have experience in, that you're trying to support the learning process without being able to support the discovery of the discipline.
Yeah, it's like we feel like, like you said in the first segment, Amit, when you were on stage, as you put it, you know, you talked about being in the front of the class as being on stage, and that you were flailing. And I think you said you were saved by Dr. Hicks coming
in.
Yeah,
and I have to say, in a very generous way, too, it was not like, you can't handle it, kid.
It's Dr. Hicks's class.
You're not the first grad student that right. she's had yeah. to whip into shape.
And but I think, Charlie, you really picked up on it. I mean, it is like improv. And I think there is an endorphin hit when things go really well in the classroom. And I love it. And I want to keep doing this. This will be the third time I teach this course.
Yeah.
And I feel like I am getting better, marginally. But still, the trajectory is upward.
Do you also like to eat food that's far too spicy, that makes you sweat and get a little bit like altered consciousness?
I do, yeah.
Yeah.
I've been trained since a baby to
Yeah, but I'm like, that's the same kind of effect. Like, oh, this is so painful and hard to handle, and I'm interested in this challenge.
It's hot Takis and Cheetos for me.
Dude.
Oh, well, we've only got about a minute left.
We can go long if you've got last thought, Fred.
I was thinking about that. You know, you mentioned that sometimes when teaching goes right, you know, we're, as librarians, sometimes we're a little insecure about our teaching ability since we're not full-time doing it. But there is that endorphin hit when it goes right. And of the four of us here, I think Wendy has expressed the most dislike of teaching. This is minor dislike, or maybe a little discomfort.
The most sensible rejection right. of the endorphin rush.
But has there just like in the last minute here, has there been an endorphin hit though? Did you have?
Definitely. So I will say, and maybe this is teaching, but maybe it's sort of, I don't know, user experience research, but seeing anyone use the stuff that you take care of, or like, that's impact, right? And I've had so many moments of witnessing students being affected by archives, or feeling the relevance, or seeing their families, or seeing people who look like them. And that's the endorphin hit. But I think that happens also outside of the classroom. That can happen through any use in the reading room, or even through an online interaction.
Right. You don't have to eat the hot sauce to get that.
Well, that's more of a one-on-one interaction, right? I say that's still like just as valuable, if not more valuable, than mass instruction. Mm-hmm. Same. That's all.
Hey, cool, man. This is Lost in the Stacks, and our show today is called From Embedded to Rooted. We'll be back after a music set.
File the set under PS1470.C3. You just heard The Shape I'm In by the band. Before that was The Mess We're In by PJ Harvey featuring Tom York. Those are songs about getting through a situation together.
Today's lesson, Lost in the Stacks, is called From Embedded to Rooted. We're talking all about instruction and libraries. And let's wrap up with a fun question for the whole crew here.
You say it's fun.
What's your dream class that you would like to teach?
And this is Allison, the photographer that's been in the studio the whole time. I would teach a class on study, like a sociological type study on women and the South.
Hmm. What about you, Josh?
I'm feeling one of two. I'm thinking either contemporary world cinema or contemporary horror cinema. I like the sound of both of those.
Nice. Matthew.
Also sociological, alternative youth culture and the internet.
Okay. I'd take that class.
These are heavy duty.
The improvisational tradition in progressive rock, 1967 to 1974.
Oh my goodness.
Wow. There's some good bands in there.
Yeah.
I think I would choose invertebrate fossil appreciation, like not teaching the evolutionary history of fossils, but just like showing you the fossils and saying these are cool and you should think they're cool. Yeah.
Class one, look how cool this is.
Yeah, and that's the test would be, is this cool? Yes, no.
I think mine would be something like personal digital futures. So it would be about sort of talking about our personal archives and what they're going to look like in the future and sort of how we're emotionally connected to them.
I would take all of these classes.
Oh, you wouldn't take this one. Radiohead in the Anthropocene. Oh. Let's roll the credits.
Ruin everything.
The mess we're in. Lost in the Stacks is a collaboration between WRK Atlanta and the Georgia Tech Library. Produced by Charlie Bennett, Amit Doshi, Wendy Hagemeyer, Marley Gibbons, and Fred Rasko.
Matthew was our able and capable engineer today, and the show is brought to you in part by the Library Collective and their social and professional network, which is called the League of Awesome Librarians. Find out more about them at thelibrarycollective.org.
Legal counsel and a syllabus from CSES 6306 Soil Chemistry were provided by the Burris Intellectual Property Law Group in Atlanta, Georgia.
Special thanks to all of the embedded librarians evolving the conversation about learning, to the non-library instructors up for pedagogical experiments, to Allison of the podcast Not Your Little Lady, and thanks, as always, to each and every one of you for listening.
Find us online at lostinthestacks.org, and you can subscribe to our podcast pretty much anywhere you get your audio fix.
Next week on Lost in the Stacks, we dive back into open waters with open as a process, following the map to where it says, do I have to do it this way? Okay. Here be dragons.
Yar. Nice pirate voice. It's time for our last song today. Librarians and class instructors do have their distinct roles.
Yar.
But they get great results when combined in a classroom partnership.
Arr.
So let's close with a song about a partnership performed by one of the great musical partnerships of all time. This is Good Combination by Sonny and Cher.
Arr.
Right here on Lost in the Stacks. Have a great weekend, everyone.